You're listening to the Technology Whisperers with myself, Alistair Ross, and co-host
AI in residence, Sean Muller. No, it's actually me. We're not using any generative AI for either of our voices, at least not in this yet. Episode.
No, and look, Sean, I think we should just always put this as a disclaimer. None of our voices are ever going to be automated.
No. And
look, the subject matter is not robotic. We always do this ourselves. So yeah, I think that's important, because in this day and age of press, commentary, journalism, there's a heck of a lot of stuff out there which is clearly being machine written.
And
we're still in the infancy of AI. And for me anyway, I can really, really tell when something has been written by AI. I don't know about you.
Yeah, you're right. I get a feeling and I dig into it, and oftentimes it looks edited. Now, to be clear, and so that we're as transparent, both Alistair and I have put stuff into generative AI to suggest topics for our podcast, and oftentimes questions, you know, to generate questions. But yeah, Alistair is absolutely right. We don't even write transcripts using generative AI. This is a conversation that Alistair and I have to help demystify technology. And to that point, today's episode is actually pretty interesting. And we've been going through kind of a transformation in the software development industry since probably the mid-90s. More recently, within probably the last 20 years, there's this kind of a move towards agile development frameworks, but there's a particular space. And currently today, and by the way, I've heard really weird ones like dev, SecOps, MLOps, AIOps, all in one trying to make it. But today we're going to specifically talk about DevSecOps.
That's right, Sean. Yeah. And why it matters. And not just, like, I've heard a few people use the term shifting left as well. And yes, I've heard some people recently misuse that. So hopefully I'm going to use that term properly through this episode. But yeah, so the title of today's podcast is DevSecOps and Shifting Left. Now, let's go back to the 90s, Sean. Let's find out where we came from so that we can talk about present day and why you might be interested in DevSecOps. Now, as a disclaimer, I think it's important, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm just remembering a certain person talking to me. He was in an executive position and he said, I can't do his accent, but he had a very pronounced accent. But he was like, he would practically scream at me. Full disclosure, I used to manage a platforms team and we did DevSecOps all day, every day. That's kind of what we did. And he said, I don't understand why anybody would be interested in DevOps. Like, I just can't, I don't care about it. Nobody cares about it. It's really boring and really uninteresting. And you do you sort of thing. And I was like, well, actually, if you did understand it, then and we just had this, you know, impasse, I guess, but he really didn't think that it was worthwhile at all. And so he was in that sort of executive mindset where go do your own thing, but don't bother me. And I think it is actually worthwhile at the executive level of understanding, not just from a technical or a cultural aspect. If you are running a business or you're at that board level, it's also useful for you to have the high level understanding of what it is, because you might be in charge of an organization or an organizational unit which adopts this culture. And I say culture, but it adopts this framework, culture, whatever you want to call it.
Ways of working.
Yeah. Ways of working. And it is really important for you to grok. There's that word again. For you to grok or understand fully what this is all about, because knowing that really will empower you to empower your team. So there you go. That's my preamble out the way.
Yeah, and look, I want to fully support this, because this is, we're demystifying these technologies and these technology terms for people who may not be embedded into like a DevOps or DevSecOps way of working, or in at the coal face, as they say, for the software development. And from the business side, you might go, why? From the business, if you want to do new things with technology, if you want to develop new things, and you want to have a better understanding of costs, and you want to control costs for the development of these products, and you want to be able to estimate and be able to get to the outcome better or faster, DevOps and DevSecOps and shifting left are ways of working that will make it better and easier for you to estimate what it's going to cost ahead of time, to reduce the cost of rework. And we're going to talk about rework a lot. And I think going back to the 90s is a really good idea, Alistair, because in the early days, a lot of software projects had to go through rework. And we'll talk about why that is and why DevOps and moving DevSecOps and moving left fixes that problem. But from a business perspective, if you want to reduce cost and increase speed to market with software, you have to do this. That's why it matters to you, because it's going to reduce your cost and it's going to speed up how you get to market.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Great to get that out of the gate there at the beginning. I think that's a really important aspect to tackle. Why do this? So it's not just a matter of, you know, understanding the culture, understanding why your technical staff are doing it this way. It's also benefit for the board. It's, hey, down to dollars and cents. Right. So
let's go back to the 90s.
Go back to the 90s. Back in the day, you could even go back as far as the 80s and 70s, but I think let's go back to the 90s, because in the 1990s, software really, really started to pick up. Like, every single fairly large organization was either developing their own software or they were outsourcing the development of software. And pretty much every single organization that were doing something with software were doing it in a method called waterfall. And that's a method of project management. So it really wasn't just to do with software development. It was, you know, this is how we will do projects. So they thought,
and well, let's describe waterfall real quickly. With waterfall, you planned out everything, you designed everything ahead of time, and you planned out when everything was going to drop, and then when every piece was going to be made within the waterfall, and you mapped out all of the dependencies, and you mapped out which things had to be done when, and then you sized and priced each one of those things before you started the project.
Yeah. So if you've ever tried to guesstimate how long a particular piece of work is going to take and do that at scale, especially, so a project that might take months or even years, you'll quickly find that that is not an easy way, and it doesn't often work.
Yeah,
and we can see that in everything, infrastructure projects, you know, road building, construction, you name it. It doing that is very, very difficult.
The planning could often take as long, if not longer, than the actual project itself.
Yeah, for sure.
But there's one little caveat that I want to bring out here. Many, many, many times within these projects, what you did post deployment of the software was considered outside of the control of the project. And so one of the things that the differentiation between maybe the 70s and 80s and the 90s was this idea that we needed to ongoing support the software that we deployed. So there might be bugs, there might be enhancements, people might not understand how to use it. This team methodology was developed called operations. It fell out of government work and power and generation work, but it was the team that maintained the software afterward, the operations team. They were not considered part of the development. So once it was developed, it was literally thrown over a wall to be operationally supported. Very rarely was there any kind of change management or documentation that came across with it. And so operations would have to pick this up and begin running with it. And that's what it looked like in the 90s.
Yeah. And the dev team often disliked the ops team and vice versa. It was not a good place to be. And I was definitely part of the ops team at one point in time. And I felt that firsthand. So I know how it felt.
And I've been on both sides. And one of the things, and Alistair and I have seen this again at the coalface, oftentimes once the software went into production, it didn't actually work the way it was intended. The business didn't get the value out of it. Operations couldn't support it, didn't have people to be able to support it. If something broke, they didn't know how to fix it. And so what would often happen is a project would close or come near to closing. Operational support would take over. And then you'd find out that all of the requirements were wrong and you would have to rework or send it back into development to develop to fix it. What was the running joke for me was no project ever finished on time and on budget. A lot of times that was because at the far right-hand side of the project, so after the project had finished and handed over to operations, then people would actually start using it and operations would be supporting it. And that would oftentimes result in that rework back through the entire project to fix it.
Yeah. And that didn't just encounter software development. It was also other areas such as security. We'll come back to security in a minute. You might have heard me say DevSecOps, and you've probably figured out already the clue in the name, but that's where that's coming from. Now, moving forward a few years, it's probably somewhere around 2008, 2007, there was a man called Andrew Schaefer, and he made a meetup. It was probably America somewhere, but I don't know exactly where. But he created something called Agile, and then Agile Infrastructure. Because a lot of the operation stuff didn't, of course, just talk to the agile software development. It also talked to the infrastructure that was required to make the platform operational, the software operational. So that was quite difficult. A lot of issues came from that initially, but then, you know, agile framework went on and on and on. And, you know, some people hate it, some people love it, and so forth. So you want to talk about Agile and what that is and what that was, Sean?
Yeah, so Agile was this way of, and I'm going to make traditional project management teams and Agile aficionados, I'm probably going to make both of them angry with this. But with Agile, the idea was is that we were reducing the size and scope of what we were trying to deliver to two things. The first one is to get us to the point where we could try something out before we had to completely design the end state. The example would be that we would build a skateboard before we decided to build a truck. A traditional waterfall methodology, if we knew we were going to build a truck to begin with, we'd build the tires and then the chassis and we would slowly work through. With the agile methodology, the idea would be let's build a skateboard. Yes, we know none of the skateboard is going to be usable for the finished product, but we can test what it is the team, the actual business wants to use it for to see if it fits. And along the way, you can change what your end state is aiming for. And you're doing it in such a way that you're iteratively changing the path as you go in very short sprint cycles or very short deliverables. So you don't have to map out this multi-month project to be able to get you to a truck, when what you may need is a car, but you don't know that until you get into the process. And for those of you who've watched the video, you'll know that I just flipped that backwards because in the video, it's a car that you're aiming for, and then you find out you need a truck. But Agile is about reducing the size and scope of what you want to do, and then iteratively doing it and getting fast feedback from stakeholders and business to make sure you're on the right path and making adjustments and shifts along the way. Now, one of the key stakeholders is the operational support people. So as you begin developing something, bringing those operational people into what you're developing as a stakeholder so that they can see what you're building and can provide you feedback for how they're going to operationally support, we begin moving them closer to the early development. And in fact, what we see coming out of that is this methodology called DevOps, where the operational team actually becomes part of the development team, so that operational thinking and how we're going to support it and how it's going to be maintained after go live is there as close to the left side of the project as possible. So oftentimes requirements or key deliverables from an operational perspective are taken into account at the beginning of the development of the product rather than waiting till the very end and throwing it over fence.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen the adoption of things like scrums. And what else have we seen?
Kanban.
Yes, of course. Yeah. So we've seen all of that and we've seen various levels of success. And then by 2015, we've seen something called SAFe, or Scaled Agile Framework for Enterprise. And that by 2015, that aspect of Scaled Agile that then took it on and said, okay, this DevOps thing is a goer. Let's make this a real thing. And by 2019, there was, you know, now a method of using DevSecOps, and that is the adoption of security into this pipeline as well. And when I say pipeline, what I'm talking about here is actually having a start and an end. So effectively, it's like pressing a button.
Yeah.
So you can get your software deployed nice and easy.
So let's talk about that. Like in the 2007s to about 2011s, when we were really starting to develop, Agile was working and DevOps teams were actually building software that could be operationally supported. What you and I saw in real life is that the next throw it over the wall was happening to just security. So we would get to the end of a project. We wouldn't do it at the beginning. We would wait until we had a shippable product that had all the features in it. And then we would call up security and go, okay, we need to assess this product and see if we're allowed to go into production with it.
Yep.
And oftentimes we would identify that we missed something from the very beginning. We inherently made a decision or an assumption that was fundamentally wrong from a security perspective. But because we didn't involve security till the very end with an assessment, or, you know, we deployed something into cloud and we shouldn't have been deploying it in a cloud. There were all these things that happened. And that's that the DevSecOps movement was a movement to bring security, again, shifting it left in the project development, to bring security to involve them from the very beginning so that they could assess the development. They could see the development of the product that was coming. They could make suggestions. They could make enhancements that needed to be made. We could actually identify a very high priority security requirement early on that could fundamentally change the entire development of the project going forward. And that's when we saw that DevSecOps and shifting it left into the project development.
Yeah. And a lot of the time, they were very expensive. We were having pen tests right at the end of an engagement of a software development process. And that's hopefully a changing thing now. Yeah. So it's really moving now along to shift left, as you say.
Yeah. I did a project in 2019. And one of the things we did was we reached out to the CISO. We've talked about CISOs. We reached out to the CISO early on at the initiation of the project. And we said, we want you to be involved. We want the security team to be involved from day one. And they were so excited about the idea. I mean, this idea that they might actually have input into and risk assessment and security analysis and security input into the project from the very beginning meant that when we had a shippable product at the end, we had a production product that the stakeholders had bought into, the business was ready to use, we could operationally support it. We didn't have to spend 6 weeks doing security assessment of it and potentially have to go back to square one for redevelopment because we had missed something. And again, Alistair and I in this have been talking about this idea of reducing cost and shifting left so that we don't have to rework. This is about rework and building it as a ways of working. And by the way, it'll be really exciting for the security teams because they'll be able to get in. Now the downside. It requires more security people to be in the organization because one security person can't be across DevSecOps projects.
For sure, yeah.
So where do we go from here, Alistair? Is this, I mean, are you seeing in the market DevSecOps is this movement that is, I hate to say this, but I think some organizations, especially around Agile, pay lip service to the idea. Like, yeah, we're doing Agile, but we have every three months we do a feature release based on a budget cycle that's 1 year around that we define everything that we're going to deliver at the beginning of the year. Is DevSecOps being adopted? Are companies seeing value from enabling DevSecOps?
I think so. If you look at the amount of time and effort that had been spent before, it's really started to come into its own now.
Yeah, and I know that especially we now have tools to automate some of this. So as part of that pipeline that you were talking about for developing software, you know, we go through operational testing as part of it, but we're starting to automate some security steps in there as well so that the security team just has to audit those security tests. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, that's right.
So are we even getting down to the point where we can begin to automate some penetration testing as part of that software development?
Yes.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. So what's next? Where do we take DevSecOps from here? One of the things we are seeing come out of this, the DevSecOps and the Agile movement is a little bit of backlash. And that this Agile backlash is happening in two flavors. The first one is financially, right? So the CFOs and the accountants within organizations are very uncomfortable not being able to understand that if they budget for a certain amount of money, that they're going to get a certain outcome, like a budgetary commit to be able to deliver things. And oftentimes with agile development, we don't really know how much it's going to cost, even if we shift as much as we can left, right? And we understand as much as we possibly can. We still don't understand what it's going to cost to get to the end product, because we may not know where it is until we start going through the cycle. We begin to develop a product and we do a pen test and we find that we built it on Azure. And let's say that there's a security vulnerability in Azure based on the way that we've deployed it, and we can't use Azure. All of our financial forecasting was so that the end product was an Azure product. And now we have to pivot to AWS or GCP or on-premise, whatever it is that we have to do to be able to handle that. Those financial constraints are causing people who like to forecast things out to a quarter or even a yearly basis are now starting to push back fairly heavily. And in fact, some agile projects are considered failures because they burn through money without ever getting to that shippable product many times, because the business doesn't really know what they want to do. And so they're constantly changing their development, what they're aiming at in the development, in such a way that they keep having to go back and go back and go back. A lot of agile practices think that agile means no architecture. Like, we have no plan. We don't know what we're doing. We're not, no decisions, no plan. And so what ends up happening is that they literally start with a clean slate with no idea where they're going in an agile development. And oftentimes the business sees those as boondoggles that never actually deliver what it is that they're expected to. So don't think that what Alistair and I are saying is that DevSecOps, although all you need to do to solve all your software development problems is to create a DevSecOps team. Well, that's not what we're saying. There are other considerations into it. And in that space, oftentimes within DevOps, what we say is that the operational team that supports the software is part of the development team. That's the DevOps, or the security portion is part of the DevSecOps team in the beginning. And that means that for the life of that product, that software product, they continue to operationally support it, or they continue to security support it. Well, then you have a scaling issue. You have to have operational teams for every single one of the development. And if the team leaves, or if the DevSecOps team is dissolved, who then operationally or security-wise supports that piece of software going forward? This is where the scaled agile framework comes in. It is intended to develop these ways of working across the enterprise to be able to fit those things. The problem is that there's a lot of overhead to manage within SAFe that you have to be able to take care of. And oftentimes, again, the business or the financial team look at it and go, well, that's just as big as if we had built it as an old school waterfall project and had to build out an entire development team and an operations team. So again, this is not a panacea. It's not a fix everything. But what we are seeing is we're seeing massively good benefits to shifting left for security requirements. If security and operations are seen as part of the stakeholder process from the very beginning and are taken into account as part of the development practice, then we are seeing reduction of rework of software development, reduction of costs to get to a shippable product. But again, it's not a one size fits all.
For sure. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that it's a good short, sharp episode, right, Alistair? The DevOps, I think, term gets thrown around a lot. And I think a lot of people don't understand DevOps or DevSecOps. And I think it was important that people understand where it came from, why we were trying to solve something, and what that shifting left means, because I do think it's important for software development.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Sean. It's been great to have you again.
Awesome. Alistair, you have a very good afternoon, and thank you for listening to the Technology Whisperers.
Cheers.